This is Live from the Table, recorded at the world famous Comedy Cellar, coming at you on Sirius XM 99. Would you let me finish, Noam? Coming at you on Sirius XM 99, Raw Dog, and on the Laugh Button Podcast Network.
Come Mark Cohen.
Dan Natterman coming at you with Noam Dorman, who's in a bit of a mood today, the owner of the world famous Comedy Cellar. We have Periel Aschenbrand here. Who is Periel Aschenbrand? Well, if you're a regular listener, you know she's our producer. If you're really sure paying attention, you know that we put those in quotes.
She does a major producing today, boy.
Yeah. She sure did.
Because Noam has some issue as to whether what she does is truly production or simply...
It was production.
Okay. We also have...
I feel like I'm at a family dinner.
We also have with us a very... special guest to the Comedy Cellar family, Mr. Mark Cohen.
Hi, everybody.
Mark was one of the, maybe the first MC when the Comedy Cellar opened back in the 80s. I don't want
to. Wrong.
No.
But he was certainly one of the early.
I was the, probably fifth.
Yeah, he was.
Run Fest.
He was early on, and now he is currently and more relevant to today's discussion, I think. He is the house MC at Comedy Cellar Vegas at the Rio Hotel.
That is correct. And Noam said I've been the best MC that they've ever had there.
Well, they do sometimes use other MCs.
Exactly.
Once a week when you're on your day off on Tuesdays.
For the first bit, I didn't take any days off.
Well, I did have dinner with Brian, our manager, and he said, we talk about off the air, actually.
Wait, really?
No, he said that when you're not there, it's not the same.
But that's kind of open-ended. You know what I mean? It's much worse. Now, when you came to the show, what did you think of the crowd there?
I thought the crowd was great. I was annoyed that the sound wasn't quite right, but they fixed it. Did you fix that stuff that I spoke?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Ugh, COVID.
Nice, Dan. But
well, we don't have a cough button, so or a sneeze button.
You keep cough
or a tissue.
No, I did it into my shirt, which is and using my hands, a double protective layer.
You know, it's funny that you said, because I said, "What'd you think of the show?" And you said, "Well, the sound was screwed up." It's so funny when you ask different people. Like I'll ask the bartender, "Hey, if I'm not there, I'll come the next day." I go, "How was the show?" And they go, "Oh, it was great." And I'll go to the comedians, "How was the show?" "It wasn't that good," because they're looking at different things. You know what I mean? The bartender wants to sell a lot of drinks, and the comedians want to get laughs.
No, I thought the show was great. I mean, I saw it wasn't Nathan McIntosh destroyed.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I mean, and that set was. I mean, they were a really good crowd that night too. On top of it, but
and then apparently, like somebody got a standing ovation. John Joseph.
Yeah, he gets a couple of them. Either that or I get them, but they're leaving. Hello. No, but it doesn't. You know, it's so funny because you see on Facebook or Twitter and the community another standing ovation. You know, I mean, it doesn't happen though. Really, does it? Does it happen here?
No,
ovation.
No.
You know, I mean,
I've never
every
seen
once
a standing
in a while,
ovation.
But,
I've seen standing ovations when people. Get on stage if it's somebody that, like, for example, Jon Stewart, who hadn't performed in years, and then he came here, and I think they stood up when he got on stage.
Right.
That I have seen, but I have not seen somebody whose performance was just so unbelievable that they gave them a standing ovation.
But John Joseph was one of the few. It does happen, actually, you know. Like, Marsha, I think Warfield's gotten it a few times.
Really? That's great.
Well,
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I'm just saying it doesn't happen. But by the way, should we? I don't know that we've mentioned this before in the podcast. Maybe we have, but I am somewhat responsible for Mark being the house
MC. That's
true. Would it have happened anyway? There's, I think, a fair chance that it would have.
He didn't think it'd be right away. I don't think.
But I was just chatting with Mark.
I thought it was Ray Romano's idea.
No, I was bothering Mark on Facebook board. Said, "Hey, how you doing?" On Facebook Messenger, he said, "Hey, what's up?" I said, "Noam's opening a club in Vegas." He said, "Do they need a house MC?" I said, "Let me inquire." I then said to you, "Mark would be into being the house MC in the Rio."
Why did I think it was Ray Romano?
You thought I was Ray Romano?
Well, because you're just determined not to give me credit for things large and small.
No, I'd be happy to give you credit for that.
Maybe you asked Ray if he thought I was.
Maybe you then went to Ray and said, but it was me.
Ray owes me, man.
And like I said, it might have happened anyway because he was the obvious choice. I mean, it's really a beautiful story. Mark was literally homeless in Los Angeles.
I had a car, though.
Make it dramatic. And he needed a job. His daughter lived in Vegas.
That's right. Yeah, so, it worked out good. Did it work out good for you?
It worked out better for us than it did for you, I think. I don't know if we'd still be in the game without Mark.
I can't say.
Well, what does Mark bring to the table besides?
He works cheap.
I work cheap. You know what? I'll tell you one thing I do bring, and I notice this from, and it's nothing to do with being funny. I bring a fresh, I do the same jokes every night, but it seems fresh. And I'm being serious. So
true.
That's a big thing about comedy. I mean,
well, also, it's nice to have Mark there because even if you don't know anybody else or you're not friends with anybody else, at least coming from my perspective, I know I have Mark. So oftentimes, Esty will book me with people that I don't know or don't know very well. I know I have Mark. Unfortunately, Mark and I were supposed to have breakfast, and he stood me up because he said there was traffic. I've never had anybody say they couldn't hang out because of traffic.
It's a 10-minute drive, and I sat in traffic for a half an hour, and I was about to get off the exit. I go, I'm just going to go to the next exit. I'll beat this traffic. And I got to the next exit, and it says... it's closed, and it brought me back. It started bringing me back to where I left from, and I called him up. I said, I can't do it.
Your 16 miles on your battery was out?
Yeah.
He has a hybrid that gets 16 miles
on
a battery.
But what I want to know...
but it gets me back and forth to the Rio.
But if it were Mike Birbiglia, would you have tried for one more exit?
Considering I don't know him, I probably...
I forgot to send his email today.
I know him, but...
Fuck.
I think he was... All right, we'll talk about it. All right.
Noam, one question I had, as long as we're discussing Vegas, and I think it's an interesting discussion, is why do you seem to rely very heavily on acts from Las Vegas? Now, I know you are trying to save money, and I appreciate
that. Actually, I think it was never like that, and it was COVID, I think, forced the hand.
Yeah, it was COVID,
And so... these acts became, you know, stronger. And
I'm not sure why we're still doing it. I didn't give any orders.
And we're not really. I don't think when you were there, how many?
When I was there, it was me and Jackie were the New York acts, and then every other act.
Well, but one of them was Michael Yo was probably there.
Michael,
and he lives in Vegas.
That's what I mean by local acts.
Yeah, but he's in L. I mean, he happened to move there, but
Well, but nobody's from Vegas. They all move there.
Well, Mark's saying that he plays all over the country. He just happens. Yeah.
I'm not saying these aren't good acts.
No,
I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying if the idea is to recreate on some level the New York experience, and maybe that's not a worthy objective.
No, I think it just happened to be I never told Esty not to book the from New York, L.A.
And I also believe that some of the comedians from New York might not want to. Still are leery of.
Well, they've heard your jokes and over.
Well, look, there's a couple.
No, I'm Sheket Bavaka Shah.
Hey. There's a couple of categories of comedians. Well, basically, there's comedians that are too, shall we say,
established
to work for that money. It's decent money.
And some of them.
But it's just not good enough. It's not enough to get Birbiglia out there, obviously. It's not enough to get. I don't even know if Ryan Hamilton will go out there for that.
He's been out a couple of times.
Has he been out recently?
He just doesn't like to say no.
He's too nice.
But I don't know what the minimum level of comic is that's willing to go to Vegas for the money. And it's not bad money. But I'm trying to decide.
What do you get? How much?
Well, I'm not going to discuss money.
I'm kidding.
But Noam, what do you think of the fact that the Vegas club does not mimic the New York club? And would it be worth maybe spending a little bit more from time to time to bring out some acts that might not otherwise go?
Okay, I'm going to say it again. I think I answered it three times already, which is that during COVID, because we were traveling and stuff, Esty hooked in with some local acts, and she's not under orders now to limit. Michael Yo because he's the best act around.
And sometimes she puts
for the week
five acts on instead of four, so it's not a money.
Yeah, like this week during Skankfest, it's like Olkerson is out. A lot of people are out there this week. It's next month? Oh, next week. Next month, yeah. Tonight. They did it yesterday at the Underground.
But you know what's funny about COVID, too? These acts that you're talking about that went up a level, a lot of them went up a level during COVID because they were busy online and doing all that stuff. So when they started COVID, they were club acts. And then by the time they were done, they were theater acts or whatever. Do you know what I mean? They were selling.
Yeah, some people fit into that category. Noam's texting something. I don't know if it's to do with.
I'm going to check the lineup. No, I'm not like you, Dan, who just like tunes out when he's not interested and just starts. Dan does that?
I just got a text.
It's like a power play.
Just got a text.
Well, it's the only power I have.
I don't think it's true anymore. But it could be that, you know, some of the people that you know or whatever don't want to fly or they're, you know, people, that are good acts here in New York too are making a good living here just by staying here. I would.
Well, no, nobody. Nobody makes a good living just in New York.
Really?
I don't think so. I mean,
because I used to do it when there was nothing.
Yeah, but that was a different era.
Really?
I don't think comics make a living in New York anymore, with the exception of comics that do a lot of MC work, and they're not making great money. They're making living.
It's quantity of money. I mean, you're staying home. It's really right. good money for people that aren't in comedy, too, by the way. You know what I mean? If people knew what an MC was making, they'd be going, holy shit, I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? And so it's...
Well...
No,
I don't know about that.
Really?
Well, I don't know what MCs make. I think.
Oh, but how can you?
And
say
that? And also, if they're emceeing every single show during the weekend at the Cellar, which would be pretty
good money, I would imagine.
Yeah, but nobody's doing that.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you that, but it looks like to me they're using the same MCs in a good way because they're good MCs.
Keith Robinson used to do that. He used to MC like every almost
John Lasseter, right? Is there a lot?
Yeah, he MCs a few. Anyway, so. So the point you're trying to make is that it's not worth it for them to go to Las Vegas necessarily.
Yeah, but some people want to go because they're doing 14 shows of 20 minutes, and they get to work on their act.
Do you? No,
I just emailed Essie that Natterman's complaining about the.
No, I hope you really didn't do.
I
that.
Really did.
No, did you really?
Yeah, I really did.
No, what did you say?
You said it on the air for the whole.
Yeah, but Essie doesn't listen to this show, and also, I wasn't complaining. I was just saying. Asking you a question: Is it an objective of yours to mimic the New York experience?
I just had Essie. She'll discuss it with you.
I don't want to discuss it with me. I hope you really didn't do that.
I did.
Well, what did you say?
I said you complained.
Natterman wants to know why we're using the same local acts so often when the locals in Vegas won't come.
And ironically, I had lunch today with Essie, who's the greatest.
Yeah,
no, but she told me she's sending all kinds of new. So there is a new group, new comics coming.
Yeah,
that are working here. That are
that are going to go to. Okay.
Yeah,
and
So you're not coming back. She asked me to tell you.
I don't know that I'm. I'm not.
The irony is rich because Dan's not afraid of saying things on the air that might harm my business, right? Why do you have the same tired acts every week in Vegas?
Well, I didn't say.
I told us you didn't say. You didn't tell us. I said so. Did you?
I didn't say they were. I didn't say they were tired acts. I say you're relying heavily on local acts.
He thinks that because it's New York. If get me right, and you're trying to recreate it.
Well, if they're trying to recreate it, but maybe they're not trying to recreate it.
We were sending out four acts a week.
Yeah, and there might have always been one local.
No, there wasn't always one. No, not never. There was no.
And the local acts, by the way,
and the local acts are doing
Marcia
the job.
Warfield,
doing the job.
Marcia Warfield, famous.
People that have been doing it for
No, to the extent that the local acts, and I hope this is what's been going on. The local acts deserve to be in the mix. That's fine, right?
Yeah, and not only that. Once I believe, and I could be wrong, was once they. If they hadn't been to the New York club, but they're in our club, they're kind of forwarded on in a past and come here and work and they do well.
Rocky Dale Davis was doing a lot.
My mom's great. Me and my mom, we have a weird relationship though. My mom almost died giving birth to me when I was born, but we both almost died. Because at birth, I was 10 pounds, 8 ounces. So, yeah, been tearing the pussy up ever since, So, hey.
What happened with Rocky Dale Davis?
No, I haven't seen him in a while. He was at the club a lot in Vegas. I haven't seen him. Why? What happened? Dan complained about him to Esty. He said, why is Rocky Dale Davis here every week? I was the first Jew he ever met, too, Rocky Dale Davis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's our first impression?
Are they all as nice as you?
Mark,
Noam, why do you use all the local acts? Can I ask you? And why do you use the local acts in New York? Why don't you bring people from Vegas to New York?
That's a good idea.
Can you write Esty?
Well, they do go on when they come here.
Yes. When we get to the politics.
Let's do it.
No, go ahead.
Do you think it happened today there?
Well, hold on.
Something happened. What?
Nobody knows even.
Well, I think there's something that happened with Trump today. But, we have a very special... A guest, Mark Cohen, and we should discuss.
So, Mark, I know your question is why do they use local acts?
I know.
it's funny because I book the local acts, but I tell them they make $50 less than they do. So when I make
you skim,
I skim the money off the top.
Mark took me to the pinball hall, the pinball hall of fame.
Yeah, you were in Vegas the week before. What? Now why?
It was awesome. And a machine.
You
I said,
did
Mark,
like it, right?
Yeah, I loved it. I said, you know, I want to go. I used to love this machine, the Black Lagoon. And we looked to the left. There's the Black Lagoon machine that I used to play with my friend Wig. It was really sentimental to see all those old pinball machines.
But as soon as he said, he goes, I used to play with Wig. And we looked to the left and it was sitting right
and
there.
And the ghost of Wig was playing at the machine.
Why did you go to Vegas the week before I was in Vegas rather than the week that I was there?
I think you should answer that.
Should I take it personally?
No, I couldn't go the following week. I forget why at this point, but I wanted to. I couldn't. I had to go that week.
And it would have been worse if you were there that week and you still didn't see him.
Was it this week? School started. There was some reason I couldn't go. The following week was not good for me.
Okay. Because it is a somewhat lonely experience for me in Las Vegas. I can't rely on Mark.
I was sick too a couple days that week or something, or I didn't come a couple days that week.
Well, you had come to New York.
Oh, that's what it was.
How unlonely is your regular life experience?
For some reason in New York, first of all, when I come here, it's more of an evening for me. Whereas Vegas, it's again, I'm not necessarily friends with the other people that are being booked on the show. The days seem longer for some reason. I mean, you're right. Here, I don't do much during the day either, necessarily.
But you're home.
But I'm home, and it's just very, very different than being in a hotel room.
See, that's the other thing is, like, if I had a chance to make whatever money then in Vegas, and I could and made 500 by sleeping in my own bed, back in the day when I was on the road, I would have rather stayed in my own bed, you know?
Right.
Just like, you know, you see, because you wake up, you're not doing anything, but you're in your house, you know?
It does.
Some people enjoy it, too. Just being in hotels. I hate it.
I also feel more anxiety. I feel more at home here in terms of the shows. And so there is that extra level of anxiety I feel in Vegas because the audience is, it's a Vegas, I don't know. I feel, this is like my house. And when I'm performing here, there's almost no anxiety, which for me is rare. but in Vegas, when I'm performing, I just feel like, I don't know, this could go badly. It typically does not.
You know what? It amazes me, and I'm probably not wording it right, but the fear kind of comics that haven't worked here, that want to work here. And so they could be killing all week, and then somebody will come in to watch them to get here, and they tighten up. It's kind of funny, you know? I mean, it's and I've known you guys for so long, but when I mention Estee's name or somebody, you could see them get frightened or whatever.
Yeah, but you had one set, like, I don't know, it's a long time ago already, but when you hadn't performed in a while, remember, and you came in and we put you on the cellar and you were so fucking nervous.
I bombed. Did I really?
Oh my God. You don't remember?
But how's it been going this week? Because you were in Vegas, you're like, what am I going to do?
No, now you're in practice again. This is when
But you know what? I'm not, because it's a different bone that I'm smoking in Vegas. No, because I do 8 to 10 minutes. So even I'm here, when 10 minutes was up, my clock went, oh, I'm done. Do you know what I mean? Even though I could have done 13 minutes.
Yeah, and then you got off. Yeah, Liz told me you got off.
It gets shorter every time she tells a story to me. But I thought he was giving me the light. You know, I thought Che, anyways, but I was ready to get off anyway. By the way.
And it was Michael Che was waiting?
I saw him in the hallway. That's why I saw him under the
light. Get off, Mark.
Yeah. And I was doing well, too. I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to get off. Believe it or not, it's kind of funny because me coming here is dangerous, kind of, do you know what I mean? Because I do a good job in Vegas, but I could come here and, you know, I've been here a long time, and if I bomb, you're not going to get me. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's like I have a nice job. I could have left it alone and not done anything. But how do people, it's to me, looking back here too in the New York club, I'll bet it seems to me that you don't have bad shows here. You know, I'm sure you do because it's comedy.
Well, do you have bad shows in Vegas? I mean, this,
no, I don't mean
this
that.
This week there was one show that was kind of rowdy.
They're rowdy,
but
they're different drunk in Vegas, you know. I mean, they
rowdy here, rowdy in Vegas.
No, in Vegas, one show that was really particularly rowdy. Saturday was it Friday night first second show or something? A Saturday second show.
Do you know what it is? Because I've been on the website you talked about. We have sometimes a party of 20, and then a party of 18, and then a bachelor party of 10. So it's hard, you know. They're talking. Yeah. It's and you just kind of have to go with it, you know, because people sometimes, can you swear on this?
Yeah,
it's the internet.
It's like you see people that don't know how to deal with it, kind of. And
where's the swear?
Hey, fuck you. But that's what they'll do. They'll just say, hey, I'm doing that. And all of a sudden you just say, fuck you. It's like, oh, Jesus. No, I mean, this. Try a joke first or something, you know?
I'm impressed that you'd planned out what you were going to say that far in advance, and there were like three sentences before the swear.
Hey, can I say the C word?
here in New York, this is something that's probably only done. I've never heard this being done anywhere ever in any context. The New York Club will not allow groups of more than eight. Is the number eight?
But that's why I said I read that. I mean, that's a great.
Any group more than eight, you cannot make a reservation for more than eight.
Right.
Now, if you make say you're a group of 16 and want to all come together, you can try to make two groups of reservations for eight, and maybe you'll get away with it.
No, we catch you. We don't let you.
Yeah, it says that.
But how do you catch them?
Well, they know each other.
They give it away.
Yeah.
You see them. Okay, but.
Or we'll make sure they're on opposite.
The point is, large groups can be disruptive.
And at the same time.
But in Vegas, they're allowed.
And sometimes the large groups are great. I mean, so, you know, it's like.
In Vegas, it's hard because they've already bought tickets. It's impossible.
Also, in Vegas, you don't have the security that you have here in New York.
No.
Right? Because here in New York, Noam is on top of it. It's his people that he hired.
Yeah.
Then he gives the instructions how to police the room. In Vegas, the Rio does everything, and the Rio doesn't do it to your standards.
It's not a free for all either, by the way. Don't come to the Rio and scream shit. But it's also they get drunker in Vegas, I think, because people.
Well, also here, another thing that's crazy about the cellar is there's a 3-drink maximum, right? Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So another complete cellar innovation that doesn't exist anywhere else on planet Earth. Is a 3-drink maximum, which I'm assuming doesn't exist in Vegas.
If the person's drunk.
Vegas, I mean, like, Vegas, cut them off.
You're right. Vegas is just a poor imitation.
It's a different animal.
People are passing out.
Are you happy that you opened the Vegas room?
No, it's a 2-puke minimum. Here, you can only puke 3 times.
Listen, I went out to Vegas last week, and I saw shows that I thought were almost identical to the Comedy Cellar. I thought it was great.
The shows are really great. And I say that to Esty. You know, I'm the MC. If it wasn't me, the show would still be great because the acts are.
No. Mark's a huge part of it. We don't have a big problem with people being drunk in Vegas from time to time, but it's Vegas, you know?
You got to kind of, yes. I mean, unless, and I call them, we never get bad hecklers. Like, you stink.
Hey,
it's always like, you know, people yelling because they're enjoying it. You know what I mean?
But wasn't there a guy who came in and said something about your mother?
Of course.
What did he say?
He said, I fucked your mother. I said, shut up, Dad.
Are you?
I changed that too. I fucked your sister.
Welcome to the Byron Allen Show.
Getting back to my question, are you in retrospect glad, upset, or indifferent that you opened the Comedy Cellar?
I'm happy I opened the Comedy Cellar in Vegas.
I think. By the way, there's a few comedy clubs in Vegas. Our club, or your club, I should say.
Our club.
Our club.
Not Dan's. Ours.
It's a destination.
Yeah.
As opposed to the other clubs. The other clubs are good, blah, blah, blah. It's people walking by and go, I see a comedy club. I'm going to go in. The Cellar, they're going there.
Well, is that
That's
true?
That's why the audiences are better.
But is that true? Because some of the other clubs do headlining shows, meaning there's one big name.
But the
big name Brad
is,
Garrett will be at his club.
Well, Brad's at his club, but that's not the same thing as having a headliner come in.
So my beef with Vegas is just that since the since COVID ended, the Rio's been short-staffed. And that's what I went out to Vegas for, to meet with the suits and see if we can get...
The Rio is a really cool place, or, you know, it's getting older, but they just sold it. I think it would be so cool if your club stayed there and the Rio became...
Well, that's what I was about to say, that it's sold to this company called Dreamscape, which is
New York,
which is related to the Hyatt. So I think the Hyatt's going to be taking over, and I expect to see a big improvement in the... service aspects of the club. Not that they're terrible or anything. It's just by my standards, they're not good.
I don't know if this is your doing, but the servers are the same now, and the security are the same, and both have
security is really nice there.
They both increased in quality too, because it's people coming in different every day. They don't know how to. It's hard to tell somebody to shut up.
Yeah.
Kind of in an audience or
not for my wife.
Well, my favorite is a couple weeks ago, I came out and go, "Hey, everybody, how you doing in here?" Boring. And then, that's the only thing I said. Boring. I didn't even say anything. And it was you. That was when you were there. But I think you thought it was going to be Vegas, and I'm going to go to Vegas, right?
I thought I would enjoy going to Vegas more.
But that's also traveling has been tough too.
No, even before COVID, I burnt out on going to Vegas very quickly.
When you did the zip line.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought I'm going to have fun. I'm going to go to Vegas, strip clubs, blah, blah, blah.
Strip club.
I don't know. I'm just like the first thing that came to my mind.
Well, you're not a gambler.
I'm giving a Noam a lap dance right now. You can't see it.
I'm not a gambler.
You didn't gamble at all any time you've been there?
I have not gambled a single time.
Except on the club.
Yeah, except on the club, yeah.
Do you frequent strip clubs?
No, I haven't been. I thought it'd be fun, you know.
Really?
I would imagine you don't like strip clubs, do you? I don't like them.
I'm not against them, but ultimately it's...
I went to a strip club with Dan one time.
Oh, really?
First of all, they come at you. They come at you to get lap dances. And if you're not prepared to... And they sit on your lap.
Yeah, that's like literally the job.
No, but lap dance.
But before they give you a lap dance, they sit on your lap. Because they're like trying to like get you to get a lap dance. And then you can't like be... And then,
yeah.
But hold on a second. Then now I'm in an awkward situation. Because they jump on my lap. Hey, how you doing? And I'm like... You know, I'm sorry, I don't want a lap dance. They're like, what, did I ask if you wanted a lap dance?
What, do you think I'm ugly?
I never heard that. No. But, like, if you tell them, like, you're not really interested, they just get all, like, oh, well, I didn't ask you for, you know, they get pissy, and it's awkward.
Because they wasted time with you.
But I tried, that's why I try to tell them, on the one hand, I want to be nice, on the other hand, I don't want to waste their time. So the right move is as soon as they get on my lap to say, look, I'm not spending money, you know, but then they cop an attitude there too. It'd be the whole thing.
But why are you going to strip clubs if you don't want lap dances?
I was at it with Noam.
But you know what?
Okay, so why are you at strip clubs if you don't want lap dances?
I didn't say I didn't want a lap dance.
He wants to know why they're local strippers.
I just wish they'd leave me alone. I don't mind having a drink, talking with friends and watching the woman on the main stage, as they call it. But I don't like when they come at you.
You want to watch and not be physically.
Have you ever heard, besides Dan, have you ever heard of anybody going to a strip club and having a fight with
the I'm not having a fight.
My friend once made it.
I'm not having a fight.
They get pissy.
They do get pissy.
Yeah, I've never seen a pissy stripper. I've never seen anybody drive a stripper to the point of pissiness. That's
because
amazing.
Because I don't waste their time. I tell them up front, hey, you're wasting, you know, but they don't like that.
Yeah,
so you probably get suckered into a lap dance.
So I have so much to say.
$30.
What, do you not like lap dances?
I don't like
they don't do you much good.
Well,
one time.
Oh, they can.
Let me finish.
One time. Well, I didn't finish. One time at a strip club early on in my comedy career, I was in Vegas and the woman said to me, do you want to come to the champagne room? You won't regret it. I said, well, what goes on there? She goes, trust me. I thought it was some code word for, you know, a hand job, whatever. I got $300 later, three lame lap dances later. Thank you. And what am I going to do, complain? I have no legal...
Ask for the manager.
I have no legal leg to stand on.
She said she was going to...
Well, she said you wouldn't regret it. If you regretted it...
I suppose. I suppose you could make
that...
I suppose you could... I don't know if that's legally binding. But you said you had so many things to say.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at you, Dana. I'm just going to let it all go. I would just say the following: I went to a strip club with Dan, and he was extremely uncomfortable, and he started playing air guitar,
his music was playing. I play air guitar.
He was like, "This is the table," and then the strip club. You could jog my memory. The strip club was
might have been
we were like the only ones there.
Well, I don't remember
and it's like everybody was coming over to us and. It was just, and Dan was really awkward.
Because there was all the girls.
Yeah, yeah. And it was in Vegas. I thought it was in New York. Wherever it was, it was really weird. And Dan was the air guitar is what I really remember. And Stuart was looking like, what the fuck?
You sure he was?
Well,
air guitar?
I know.
Sure
I mean, I was expecting
you sure he was
a better
playing air guitar.
I was expecting a better story than air guitar. Which
do you not enjoy?
Because I don't want to insult you.
Do you not enjoy it because you're not getting off, or because you don't want to spend the money, or because you don't actually enjoy?
I don't want to spend $30 a pop can add up very quickly.
It's $30. I thought it was $10. It's $20.
No, it's
they raised it for.
I don't know what it is.
$30, $20. What do you need $5 for?
for a dance that doesn't really get you anywhere. If I may, you know.
Well, a few of them might get you somewhere. I mean, depending on where you're trying to get.
Yeah,
somewhere.
You're trying to have happy ending. It sounds like.
You know, look, I no, the lap dances.
Okay. Nicole's put something up on the screen there. Average price of lap industry standard $20.
But in New York? Oh, that's in New York.
Okay. Probably cheaper.
Yeah, I guess so. Group.
Well, that is from 2015, though.
Oh, that's a good price, too, 2015.
Nice, Nicole. There you go. Oh,
let's see.
In private lessons.
I wonder if it's...
group classes.
Now, I wonder if it's the quality of the place, too. I mean, maybe at a nicer...
But no, what you say? I mean, were you holding back? Was there something else I was doing that you found to be worth mentioning?
I'm just wondering about what's the whole picture, Dan. The saying things like just the whole. I was at dinner with some friends yesterday with somebody else, and these are famous people, and somebody they said to.
He's not.
The issue came out of like what it means to be on the spectrum. And I began to research. I've done this before, like what the checklist is of being on the spectrum. And I would say that Dan is not actually he's not a prime candidate for being on the spectrum.
Why do people?
Okay, I mean, was that the supposition that were people saying that I was on the spectrum?
Quite a bit. Yeah, they do say that. But okay. But
you're really pissed about what he said about the Rio. Huh?
But the things that would put you on the spectrum are
are they broad strokes?
Strokes, yeah.
People that don't like lap dances are on the spectrum.
So
I don't think most people like lap dance. I mean, it seems like a waste of money.
Some people like, you know.
I guess they must like them, but it doesn't
seem
like an overwhelmingly prudent use of $20 to me. But okay.
This is mild social awkwardness. They may not understand the back and forth nature of conversations, unintentionally talking too much about themselves and not interested in talking about other people. Okay, well, no, that could be a yes. You're a little socially awkward, but
by talking about myself as opposed to others,
you'll lose interest. You'll start looking at your phone with someone else. But having said that, okay, that like you say, oh shit, this is gonna be looking at. But then the next one is difficulty understanding jokes or sarcasm. Well, that's clearly not the case, right? Challenges making or keeping friends. You have a good job keeping friends, right? You don't have trouble keeping friends, do you?
No, I do not.
I don't think you do.
No, I do not. But I wasn't aware that I was being like we're discussing is Dan on the spectrum, but I wasn't aware that
people considered
that I was on the spectrum. Like you're making an argument.
I'm trying not to think you're a dick. I'm looking for some excuse.
What did I say that was dickish? Other than your constant insults of me,
I'm sorry.
What have I said to you that was dickish?
This is not the first time on the podcast you've said things that might put me in a bad light.
Edit it out.
No.
We either get gold or edit it out.
You know, it's so funny because you're probably sensitive to it now because he wasn't that clear. I kind of understood what he was saying.
Thank you, Mark.
But at the same time, I could understand why he thought you were an asshole.
What was I saying?
I thought you were saying it's like if you're recreating
trying to understand. You use a lot of local people. But they do a great job.
We've had countless incidents like this, and it's more cost effective.
But look at this too, Dan.
On the other hand, it seems to be there's a lot of people that work here that don't work Vegas. Is it because they don't want to?
You know.
Is it because
I don't want to be your friend anymore?
Okay.
Do you have sensitivity to bright lights?
Bright humor.
Strong smells.
Could you put your phone down?
Avoidance of eye contact.
Now
we're getting into something that could be interesting. You feel that I said something to you that,
go ahead.
That was insulting and or potentially prejudicial to your business.
I would say to you,
edit it out, or it could be interesting.
Yes, it could be interesting, but you said, okay, there was one time. No, I don't want to tell the story.
Oh, you're fucking Taz again? No. Fucking 30 years ago?
This is my favorite podcast.
From one?
Ever.
There was another, fucking 30 fucking years
there's
ago.
A, there's a better story. Now you. Sorry, Dan. I don't want to go. I don't want to put you into like full Paul Mercurial mode. Remember when we had that fight?
Yeah. What's a better story? But just give me the broad strokes and I'll tell you if you have permission.
I was sitting with, I think it was Dana Perino, the Bush's former press secretary.
Dana Perino?
She was eating.
Oh, I don't.
And you came upstairs from the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you said something to me.
What did I say? About what?
About
the
guy, the employee in the bathroom you saw.
That he didn't do something?
But he said something in front of this woman,
I'm with Dana Perino. He walks right up to me and he says, "No, I'm in the bathroom. The employees need to wash their hands."
Or they're stop making the soup in there.
She was a press secretary, not a health inspector.
Yeah, but I'm like, she's eating. Call me aside.
Whoa. Holy shit.
But it was the dishwasher. It wasn't anybody preparing the food. But it's still not okay. But I was like, whatever. It's just like, that was the ultimate example. Like, that was something that you would think you would keep just between us.
Okay, I'm taking it.
You can understand. You can understand.
I'm taking it and I'm processing it. It was an infraction. I don't think a grave infraction.
And then the Taz stories.
Forget the Taz story.
I want to know the Taz story.
Forget the Taz story. The Taz story is so old. I apologize. You know, there's got to be a point in which.
Funny, you brought it up.
Yeah, because I knew you were about to bring it up.
Let's cut it.
I knew you were about to bring it up, but there's got to be a point where a man serves his time.
Okay, but listen.
Let's cut out the insults about the Rio and tell me the Taz story.
Put it in. Listen, so how many times have I said like something really ridiculous happened to me that was unpleasant to say, but at least I have the story. The stories are a big mitigating thing for various things that happen to you in life. A good story is something that you...
I'll tell the Taz story because I feel if I tell it, I'm taking it back. I'm reclaiming it.
Okay, don't mess it up.
Noam was with a very attractive young girl.
You want to see a picture of her?
Fake news.
She was a young girl.
This is before my wife. This is like, you know.
5 minutes.
A young girl, much younger than he was, of generous proportions. A caramel-colored goddess, if you will. And and we're just talking, and Noam, this is Taz, and Noam at some point said, we're dating, or... At some point, it became clear that they were dating, and I said, I don't know what got into me.
Oh, boy.
I said, does she now, in front of both Taz and Noam, I said...
Let me finish.
I said, does she know how old you are in front of them both?
You did it wrong.
I want to see the picture.
I can't show it.
Well, that's fair.
He's going to become a hero in the story.
That's what happened.
She's a very pretty more, girl, by the way.
I can only say that I don't know what got into me. I don't recognize the person that said that.
What did you say?
I said, does she know how old you are?
Oh.
This is what it was.
That's what it was. What am I missing? Okay,
these pictures, she looks like a model, right? But actually, when she was a regular customer in the Wall at the time, and she actually...
Maybe I thought it was funny. There was a big age difference.
She actually didn't present like anything. She actually presented like a wholesome.
Following things in my defense. But let me say the following things in my defense.
Let me tell the story.
Probably thought it was funny, and I figured she must know how old you are. So it's just a goofy thing.
No.
Of course I did. I know you don't lie about your age.
This is what happened.
But that's what happened. What I said, what happened is what happened.
Okay. I was probably 39, 40 at the time, I'm guessing. And
so this happened 40 years ago.
And she had to be, I don't know how old she was. She was questioned. I didn't know how old she was, but she was old enough to be a customer of the law. And
she was really that much younger than you. 20 years, maybe 15.
Yeah, 15.
She could have been 15, 20 years. Anyway, so I didn't know. And she wouldn't tell me.
Right.
And we didn't. But anyway, we were sitting at the table. And so Dan walks over, sits down. And this is what it was. And she was like dressed up. I've never seen her dressed like that. So he... How did it go? He looked at Noam. He looked at me. Then he looked at her, and then he went. And he looked at me. He goes, "Does she know how old you are?"
Oh, that's so much different than the story I told.
It was the double take. He was like,
"That was
It was like he was. Does she know?"
The double take.
Was that the first time?
And it was really worth a 5 minute detour for that additional detail.
Does she know how old you are? Like it was
that additional for that additional detail. It needed 5 minutes of you going telling your story.
I'm not a professional like you, but it was not a joke. It was actually it was an ex.
He wasn't trying to hurt you.
Well, first of all, you don't know what I was trying to do.
He ejaculated it, saying.
Just said it without making it.
Like, he's like, does she know old you?
I assume that she did. Noam doesn't lie about his
age.
Did
you break up? Was that it?
We never dated.
Yeah. They went on, continued to whatever they were doing before.
You took her Viagra and went to bed.
No, that after what Dan said, the whole thing fizzled out.
No, it didn't. I did not. I mean, I guess intentions are more important than outcome, but it did not damage the nature of a relationship.
It didn't matter.
Now you might say that doesn't exculpate me, whatever the word is.
Exculpate.
because I don't recognize the person that's... You ever do something and you don't even... Nicole.
Yes.
You ever like you look back at your youth and you say to yourself, I don't recognize that girl that I once... Well, how did I... Right? You've done that.
Yeah,
Thank
course.
You. Okay. Well, that's what I would say. And Noam brings this up every time.
I didn't bring it up. You brought it up.
No, you were about to bring it up.
I wasn't. I was going
to. Of course you were. You said Dan's done some things.
I wanted to bring.
And I know that that's your favorite story.
Have you guys ever thought of splitting this into two podcasts?
I wanted to bring up the. So anyway,
you wanted to bring up the hand washing thing.
But then we've had. Do you remember any of the other instances Nicole does where Dan says stuff on?
That's not Nicole. That's Perry
on the air. No, I maybe Nicole does. We ask questions on the air. Like Dan, why would you ask that on the air?
I'm trying to be provocative. It's for the good of the podcast. But if you don't like it, edit it out.
That is true, though. I think he does try to
edit it out.
Listen, edit Nicole, you take out the part about Tess.
do you edit this?
No,
we have to. If needs be, we edit it
from time to time.
If needs be, yes, we do.
All right,
we try not to.
Anyway, yeah. Mark Cohen is in New York. What brings you to town, Mark Cohen?
Well, I did a couple sets at the Comedy Cellar, but my daughter she likes Broadway musicals and writes musicals, so she went to a couple musicals, and we went to a presentation of a new Broadway show that they're looking for investors.
Well, maybe no one would like to invest in a Broadway show.
Would you ever invest in a Broadway show? No way, right?
First of all, I don't like everybody thinks I have that kind of money. Second of all,
so you want to do two Broadway shows?
I would.
Not every investor is going to put in $5 million, $100,000.
They need it costs a lot of money.
Well, how much is the least you can invest? Can you get in for $100,000?
This much.
70? No, I have no idea, but it depends how many people invest, I imagine. If there's one guy giving $5 million, then they only need, you know, two people given $500,000 or whatever it is, you know, or whatever.
Now I'm going to swing a half meg.
I'm not investing in a stupid Broadway show.
Hey, wait, first of all, it's not a stupid Broadway show. It's called The Fiddler on the Sidewalk. It's a lower rent version.
No, Mark is a great father from what I can see.
It's a Jewish show. It's called Rent.
And one thing I've noticed is comedians.
Mark Cohen is the lead in Rent. Did you know? That's the lead character's name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Comedians.
I got the greatest stories, don't I?
Comedians, even the nutty ones, with one exception, whose name I won't mention.
We'll be
their children always seem to be very well adjusted and well behaved and respectful and
so hilarious. I think I know who you were talking about.
Who's not well adjusted?
I'm saying there's one kid, comedian kid that I've had bad interactions with.
Provocative.
That you won't say.
Why don't you be?
Of course, I won't say. But because, but I don't want to go after a child. But
wait, that sounded worse.
but I found comedians seem to do a pretty good job raising kids. It seems to me in my. Well, are you showing the?
Oh, I know who.
That's right. Let me see what.
Was that right?
That's correct. and Mark's child is no exception.
My kid is great. You know, it's funny because
she's woke.
She's the opposite of me. You know, you can't say anything, or she doesn't smoke weed, she doesn't drink. I mean, what the hell? No. But it is funny. I think kids kind of are the opposite of what their parents do. My parents didn't, you know, party or weren't funny or anything.
Your parents were not funny.
My father was funny, kind of, but not really, no.
I think...
Like you.
I think you, you know, there is...
No, he had jokes.
Well, I think there are some kids that want to follow in their parents' footsteps, and there are some kids that want to rebel and are disgusted by what their parents are doing.
I imagine you're similar to your parents, though, without me.
No, I think I had a reaction. Like, the house was not full of laughter and levity, and it was too full of seriousness, and I think I reacted. It wasn't a light and airy place, and I think that was how I reacted against it in my case. But I think there are many comedians who have kids that want to do comedy, and you know that happens a lot. We'll see what happens as to whether Noam's kids want to be musicians, but so far they seem to be.
Start at a young age for you? Did you notice that there was not a lot of lightness and laughter and levity? Like, were you always funny?
I don't know if I noticed, but I always tried to. No, was I always funny? My teachers would certainly tell you I was not.
Okay, what would your classmates tell? Like, were
they
you...
would say I was funny. I mean,
in high school, you were quiet, you know?
No, I would have not really. Quiet at all.
I got a call from my kid's teacher today, or my Juanita did. He's saying bad words. He's saying like, what the F? But he doesn't say the full F. He says, what the F?
I guess. Really?
And then he said, there's some women dancing together. He says something about them. Are they going to be lesbians?
So he is like you.
Yeah.
So did you have a discussion with him?
And what Juanita did. I mean, I don't.
So I when don't he know. Says that, do you want to be, is he's not, in a neg? Is he just asking a question?
He just wants attention. He's nine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted attention. Perhaps I wasn't getting the kind of attention at home also that I, you know, so I reacted in that way. But I get some kids who have, you know, a different home life might want to imitate their parents. And your daughter is imitating you insofar as she's going into and her mother, in that you're both performers and she is a performer or wants to be or is.
Yeah.
So in that way, she's emulating you.
She writes, you know, musicals. It's pretty amazing, actually. Do you know?
And what do you write?
I wrote the Sheka Bavaka Shah.
Well, he wrote the Elvis Premature Ejaculation Joke.
People love that. Quail's an Idiot is mine.
Can we hear the Elvis? I mean, I don't want to put you on the
buffet waiter.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you do the Elvis Premature Ejaculation Joke?
Well, it's a one. Oh, Jesus. Look at that all over my blue suede shoes.
Priscilla.
And Mark is a musician too, by the way.
Mark's a great musician.
I have four. Do you know I have four CDs out of music?
Yeah, you have to edit them together to make a greatest. That's what I told sell merch and thing. So I met Mark in Vegas and I'm like, have edibles. I'm like, and Mark, you want an edible? He goes, how many milligrams? So like, I said, it's 10. He goes, I won't even feel that.
I said, I'll have to eat five.
I won't even feel
that.
I need 50. I literally need 50 in order to get high. I'm like, all right. Well, he says, I'll take one. Apparently, he was so fucked up.
Yeah, I felt it.
The other comedians had to give him a support system just to get through the show.
Sometimes I play it up.
He couldn't remember.
But I did feel it.
Well, you might not know what milligrams mean because you're not used to smoking in terms of milligrams. You're used to just smoking in terms of the amount of hits of a bowl.
Different companies, too, I think, affect you differently, how they're made, you know?
Is there anything to the indica sativa dichotomy? I've read that was just mostly mythology.
No, I think it's real. You know, there was a couple of weeks ago, I'd smoke, and I would feel my body racing. I called up my dealer. I go, because I always smoke indica. And I go, what was it? He goes, oh, it was sativa. And I was like, so I switched back, and it stopped doing it. So there is something to it, obviously. And people don't like, most comedians I find don't like sativa because they get too wired, you know.
Nicole, are you?
Was yours? Was that a sativa or an indica? Maybe it was a sativa, and that's why I felt it more too. Maybe
I think it was the one that people like more.
Indica.
Yeah, I think so.
Is there one that's like supposedly? Isn't one supposed to be the gigglier one, and the other supposed to be a mellower?
One is a body supposedly. Indica's a like a couch lock they call it, where you just sit in the couch and do nothing. And a sativa is supposed to be, you can clean the house and you know blah blah blah.
Now, I cannot function when I smoke. I can't get through a paragraph. I can't remember what I've said.
Function when I don't smoke. It's so weird. But, you know, the truth is I have been smoking so long, I don't feel it kind of, you know what I mean? So
like my father was like that.
Yeah.
So why do you smoke it if there's no effect?
Because I'm a...
It's
an addiction, I would imagine.
It's an addiction. So, yeah. I mean, you just feel a craving or...
I just do it, you know? I've actually I get up and go to the bathroom in the middle, like, oh, take a hit of weed while I'm up for the bathroom. You know, it's just stupid, you know. You realize.
Well, after my father died, for probably a few years, I was finding stashes of weed around his house.
Really?
Here, there, in the closet, in his vest, you know, jacket pocket.
We used to have to, remember, we'd have to smoke, like, in the kitchen, you know, during, you know. You couldn't smoke anywhere. Now, it's amazing, though, when you walk down the street here, it just reeks of weed. It's crazy, kind of, you know?
You know how many people's lives were just totally forfeited because they got caught smoking weed?
Oh,
and now
yeah.
It's nothing.
And some of them are still in you know.
I think most of them probably left out.
People that got arrested were the people selling it more. Not that that's any less in unjust.
When I first moved to Vegas 20 years ago, too, I was doing a show called The Rat Pack Is Back, and I lived in the Sahara. And I would get high all the time in my room, and I was there 2 years, and finally I got a knock on the door. It was a security hotel, and I said, and they go, are you smoking pot in here? I go, yeah, what are you talking about? I've been up here for 2 years. You know what I mean? It's like, and they said, well, we're going to call the police, and unless you give us the pot, and you have to flush it down the toilet. And I said, eventually I gave him some pot. And they said, flush it down the toilet. I said, I'm not going to flush it down the toilet. If you want to flush it down the toilet, flush it down the toilet. But because back then, you would go to jail in Vegas, you know, for a seed.
That's crazy.
Nicole, are you more of an indica or sativa person?
I don't really know. I kind of just take what I can get, but I think I prefer to be more, you know, my brain to be moving and active than be sucked into my couch and just eating.
They have all these other things now that are in the pot, like myrcene or whatever, all these, not additives, but the other thing besides, used to just be how much THC is in it. Now, but now it's like if it has myrcene, it makes you do this, and if you have lysine or whatever it is. I think it's kind of bullshit. But
I have friends who have like teenage kids who have wound up in the hospital from smoking.
Well, yeah,
really?
Yeah, because it has like all of these chemicals.
Well, no, that may be, but what it is if you don't, if you're not experienced, you don't know how much is your limit. I had a very bad time one time thinking the cops were coming.
With edibles, though, probably.
No, this was a smoke with. Really? I didn't know anything. I was just with some people. They're like, I'd never smoked before. I kept smoking. It felt good. I kept smoking. Felt good. I figured I'll do a little more. And then, it was at a very abrupt, moment where it was almost like a short circuit. And, like, everything went black and white. And I'm like, no, this now it's like the roller coaster went up, and now it's coming down, and it was very, very, very upsetting.
Say there's
and I think that's calm. I didn't go to the ER, but many people do.
These edibles are so candy-like. I mean, say you did leave it around. Say there's a 12-year-old kid, the parents leave it around, and they eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
Would they feel it? Or sometimes I don't know if they didn't know what it was. They might not even.
I think they would feel it.
Yeah,
I think they would feel it. Could be very dangerous. I think it'd be dangerous.
I guess.
Well, depending how much it was, it could be quite dangerous. It could either be pleasant.
Yeah, I'm worried. Like my friend had edibles with him, and I said, listen, don't bring those in the house. I'm afraid they'll fall out of your pocket because the kids will just eat
candy.
And they
look, and they taste like candy.
I'm surprised it's not illegalish.
But they look exactly like candy. I mean,
they are
they're
candy.
Reproducing.
But if you remember when we were kids, you know, or anyways, when I was a kid, they had fake cigarettes. So what's the difference, kind of? Actually, even...
Fake
I
cigarettes.
Guess, yeah, it didn't get you high, I guess. Yeah.
No, right. Fake cigarettes are fake cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's the same.
Hey, but what about the dog? What about the dog?
No, if my kids see a real cigarette and start chewing it,
right? They're not going to.
They can't blow bubbles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about the doggy? What if the doggy gets a hold of the edibles?
That's dangerous. No, no, it's dangerous too. It's dangerous.
For the dogs?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's dangerous for the dogs. They're just trying to go to sleep. But I don't think the dogs will eat the candy so much.
Well, the dogs might get paranoid. I think the dog catcher is coming.
It makes them sick. I just read something about a dog in Central Park that ate some weed and got really sick.
Central Park.
Well, I think we're out of things to talk about.
Well, you're never out of things to talk about with Mark Cohen.
So I just want to say what a great club the Rio is, Noam, and how you do a wonderful job booking it.
Thank you, Mark.
Do you have any plans for the Vegas club? We know that hopefully it'll be renovated because there's new owners. But and I know you're going to look into bringing new blood in there. You know, not necessarily me. I go my once or twice a year. That's fine. But I was just wanted to discuss. You know, and the locals are great. They do the job. But there's so many great comics in New York that don't go. And I'm saying to myself, why aren't they going? Is it it's not enough money? You know.
I apologize.
Or whatever. Anyway.
There are a lot of great strip clubs in Vegas.
Do you have any plans for the Vegas room other than what we've already discussed? No, you do not. Okay.
Are you keeping the MC for a little while? That's all.
As long as he'll stay.
If the club breaks even, I think the club is probably profitable. I'm not going to get into your business in terms of dollars. That might be one of the things you would accuse me of stepping over the line. I don't know. But if the club just breaks even, would you keep it going?
Yes.
And why?
Because I think it's good. It's good to have a national presence. It's good for the brand.
Also, you don't want Mark back in the streets.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah, it's good for Mark too.
It is good for me.
Well, we hope it goes long enough that Mark can safely and comfortably retire.
And to be honest, there's a lot of pressure, not by you, but the club is so great here. And I felt like I wanted to live up to it. Believe it or not, too. And another thing, I'll pat myself on the back a little bit. You know, I'm sure you have MCs here that do way too much time, right? Or different situations. I'm really there for the show. You know what I mean? So if the audience is good, I'll jump off. If they're not good, I'll do an extra 2 minutes, you know? And I really want the show to be good as the whole rather than walk away and go, oh, the MC was great.
That's the opposite of being on the spectrum, is you're selfless.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm selfless, but thank you very much.
Mark doesn't seem to have any ego, but the fact of the matter is the audience loves him.
I do.
And we'll probably be happy if you did more time.
And I'm amazed how fast in Vegas I can get the audience. And I don't know if it's because they're in Vegas and they're ready to party, but like usually from the first joke, you know, they're laughing. With you. You don't have to go, hey, we're going to have a great time. You know, they just do a joke.
Mark has a great new, but I think it's new. I hope you don't mind if I, well, it's a joke about gagging.
Go ahead. I don't know what it is, but go ahead.
The joke where Mark says, hey, you know, this guy was talking about gagging. I don't know exactly how he tells it, but if I may, if I have your permission.
Sure, go ahead.
This guy's talking about, hey, you know, chick was gagging on my cock. He's like, you can't really gag a chick with your cock, can you? And the audience is like, yeah. And he goes, oh. You know, like he can't with his.
But he kind of let it's the girl before ends up. She does the act before me had done a impersonation of a blowjob.
Oh, okay.
And all that's right, so what you forgot. And then she goes, she starts gagging. So I go up after her. You can't really make somebody gag, can you?
Oh. And then the guy's, of course, yeah. And he's like, and then you start kind of
crying.
It's very affected the way he does it. I don't do it justice, but is that a new thing that you?
Well, I only do it when this girl happens.
Well, who's is that Tracy?
Nikki.
Oh, Nikki Carr.
It's a really funny bit she does.
Nikki Carr's one of the locals who we love.
It's so funny.
Want to underline?
You know these locals that you say, but they're all natural. You know, national TVs. You know, they've been on. You know, all the great shows, all the great comedy shows. So it is no locals anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm using local in a purely geographical sense.
I know, but
they live in Las Vegas.
Yeah, but they work all over the country, just like the people anywhere.
Okay, you know what I mean? By the way, speaking of locals, our Comedy Cellar alum Harrison Greenbaum is now living in Las Vegas, and he stopped by in New York. The New York Club is one thing that differentiates the New York Club from necessarily any other club. Is the drop, and New York clubs in general, are the drop-ins. People drop in, whether it be Louis C.K., Chris Rock, Ray Romano was here the other night.
Last night, too.
You know, they come in unannounced. Obviously in Vegas, because you don't have all the comics living there, there's going to be less drop-ins. But our dear friend...
But we've had most of those people you said, though, have come on.
Have they?
Ray's been there many times. Amy Schumer, I'm trying to think of it. But, you know, all these people that come in, when they come in, they're...
Well, it's not...
Michael Che, Attell.
Okay, not as frequent, but they do.
Not as frequent,
but anyway, our dear friend Harrison Greenbaum dropped in during the week because he is performing at Mad Apple, which is a Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas.
I think it's amazing, too, because he's doing, whatever, 14 shows a week or 10 shows. It's like his day off, he still comes by and does...
Well, he probably wants to work shit out for the Cirque du Soleil show.
I guess, but...
Because the Cirque du Soleil show, I assume he doesn't want to do the same set. Comedians, for our own sanity, we don't like to do the same shit every night. So
speak for yourself.
So I assume he's trying to work new shit out for the Cirque du Soleil show.
But the truth is...
Or maybe he's using Cirque du Soleil to work shit out for the Vegas room.
They're not getting a repeat business like the Cellar gets. Right. I mean, you go to see the circus, you're not going to go, I'm going to go to the circus.
Right, they're not, but for your own sanity.
Yeah, no, I understand. But I'm sure he could work it out on stage, too.
Yeah, but Cirque du Soleil that's a big ticket item. Yeah. I don't think you want to. The Comedy Cellar is a workout room to some extent.
Not in Vegas.
No, but more so than Cirque du Soleil, which is a big, grand, multi-godzillion dollar show for which he is probably being paid quite a nice sum. He probably is less comfortable working new stuff out there. And as a corollary, I'm less comfortable working stuff out. I was in Brooklyn last night at this room. This guy, Dean David, you know Dean? He's a young comic. He runs an open mic out there. And I went out there, and it doesn't pay anything, and it's not his full room. But I'm able to work stuff out there with complete ease, whereas here, I'm scared to work any new jokes out here. One new joke, I might slip in, and if, God forbid, it doesn't work, I'm like, oh, fuck. And then I go right back
to that. But that's you. I don't think that's the Cellar.
I think it is from the comics I talk to. They don't love working new shit out here.
But that's self-imposed. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it might be self-imposed, but it's real in terms of how we feel.
I mean, if you've been here a long time, if you had a bad set in your head or whatever, it wouldn't affect you. They're not going to go, oh, Dan had a bad set. He's not going to work here anymore.
Not one, no. But I still feel nervous because I want to do well because I feel like it's a full room and it's the Cellar and they were expecting a lot. As far as whether I'd ever be thrown out of here, you bet your ass I would be if I had enough bad sets. There's no tenure here at the Cellar.
Is that true? I'm not going to stay in Vegas. I'm never working here again.
You don't have to worry because you don't work no shit out.
Well, it's so funny because it's funny we're talking about this. When I knew I was coming back to do a couple sets here, I said, I'm going to look at my act because I haven't looked at the stuff. I looked at the jokes I wrote. I must have 200, 300 jokes. I looked at it, go, this is a good joke. This is a good joke. I don't do them. I don't do so. When I go back, I'm going to go through again and work them in. But it's like I wrote them once and they worked, and then I just never do them.
By the way, in Vegas, I know we're running out of time, but speaking of that, there's a joke I did about 20 years ago where I used the N-word before I very quickly found out I'm not authorized to do that. But that was the joke where I say they're sending stuff into space. You know, they're sending on Voyager 1, they actually put like music in and like books in case alien civilizations run across it. And then imagine if they put gangster rap in there and then the aliens come to Earth and they say, greetings, N-word. Okay. You know that joke.
Yeah.
I've said it.
How's it go?
I just did. Okay. So I just substitute the word N-words for the words greetings, bitches, and hoes, and it worked quite well.
Oh, yeah?
You know, I mean, I probably not as well as it, like, it's not as punchy, but it also avoids the, and that's a literally 20-plus-year-old joke that I just repack. I don't know why I didn't think of that before.
So Louis went on here. And it worked. Louis said that his currently his favorite joke in the world is a Dan Natterman joke.
Oh, yeah?
What was the joke?
The joke is as follows, and I did it every night in Vegas, where Mr. Morales, my high school ninth, do you know this joke, Nicole, my high school ninth grade sex ed teacher?
No.
Okay. Well, he got fired. Because he was our health, he was inappropriate. He came to class. He said, "Class today, I'm going to demonstrate how to put a condom on. That's why I have this banana with me because I can't get hard on an empty stomach." and then there's a little more to it than that. There's some tags that go with it. But that have you not heard that? No, you heard that from Louis because Louis
heard
said
from Louis.
It.
Yeah, Louis yeah,
said, yeah. So I bumped into Louis the other night, and he said, "Dan, you know." I love that joke. I'm sorry. Maybe I should have asked you first if I could tell it because, you know, he's giving a joke away that I said, believe me, it's more than worth it for you to tell that joke because the amount of, yeah. And I mean, it wasn't millions or thousands, but many new followers on social media, like, you know, not a shit ton, but new followers on social media. And it made me feel good to be acknowledged, you know, in a public fashion.
Absolutely. When one of the world's greatest comedians endorses you as having this favorite joke, it's like if you wrote...
I have a joke that I don't do because it's a little risky. But I told one of the comedians the joke, you know, I do this joke. And apparently they came back and told everybody in New York that I do this joke. And it's a really good joke, but I can't do it. But I thought it was funny that people... telling my joke that I've never told on stage, really.
Why is it risky?
It's about...
Your daughter wouldn't like it.
My daughter would hate it. It's. I said the people are putting up... in my neighborhood, they're putting up signs. They're looking for a rapist. And I said to myself, well, I could do that. Yeah. So I've said it a couple of times, but it's like, you know.
But by the way, we have to go. But about your daughter.
that was a bad segue.
The fact, I mean, she can't be that woke. Like she must. You have a good relationship with her. So it has to.
Perielle is woke, but she can also have. You're going to have a conversation with her and disagree with her and have
no.
A discussion.
But part of what animates a lot of woke people is that they assume that the people who say certain things that offend them are horrible people.
Right, and she knows I'm not being negative.
And she knows that you're not a horrible person. Right. So in some way, it must be obvious to her, well, okay, but because people say those things doesn't make them bad.
She knows I'm not bad, no, but she doesn't. She feels bad for the people.
Yeah.
If I call people. Them, instead of them, if I call her hers. You know, no, she's not her, she's a them.
You know. You would do that?
Sometimes I've called.
You're a monster, and we shouldn't. And we're going to have to scrap this episode.
It's just it's different, you know. We didn't. You know,
she understands that people make mistakes or things in good faith.
If she thinks I'm doing it, if she thought I was doing it on purpose, if I knew they were a they or a them, and I said, hey, how's she doing? She, you know,
Dad.
Yeah, Dad.
All right, let's go. We got to go.
Well, okay. That rapist joke is hilarious.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marco. I thought this was a good episode.
Very good.
And I thought it was good. I think the people will like it. I know Nicole likes it. I'm not going to ask her because I know the answer.
Can you hear people buying tickets to the Comedy Cellar Vegas as we speak?
We have fantastic shows.
Comedy Cellar Las Vegas. Go to ComedyCellar.com. Is that the website?
Yes.
And you can get tickets either for the New York room or the Vegas room 7 nights a week, 365 days a year.
Four drinks and bring 9 people.
But if you're in Vegas, stop by.
If you can't get in the New York cellar with eight people, you come to us. We'll pop them.
Podcast at ComedyCellar.com for all your questions, comments, and suggestions. We thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.